Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Now after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." I'd just like to repeat verses 5 and 6. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. For he has risen, as he said, come see the place where he lay." I've entitled a message for this Resurrection Sunday, "Christ the Lord is risen." Dear congregation, on this Resurrection Sunday 2025, we celebrate the glorious resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Christ is an historical fact, and it is also an event that impacts us even today. Because of his resurrection, our sins are forgiven, our lives have purpose, and our future is full of hope. On this Resurrection Sunday, thank God, the gospel does not end at the cross. The gospel account does not end with the despair and heartbreak of Christ's suffering and death, but rather with joy and hope of Christ's glorious resurrection. As the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Or as the angel said to the women in verse 6, "He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." Now, what does the Gospels tell us about the resurrection? For the gospel writers, the reality of the resurrection is confirmed by the empty tomb and also the appearances of the resurrected Christ. And so to many eyewitnesses, that is to the women at the tomb, to the men on the Emmaus road, to Peter, James and John, and the rest of the disciples, and then to 500 believers at once, and then to the Apostle Paul. Today we accept this glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ by faith. After all, ours is not the privilege of literally seeing the empty tomb or the resurrected Christ. In verse 2 we are given one of the details about Christ's resurrection. He says in verse 2, there was a great earthquake. And you will remember that there was also an earthquake when Jesus died on the cross. In other words, the earth shook when the Lord of glory died. And the earth shook when the Lord of glory was raised to life. Dear brothers and sisters, there are many who don't accept or believe the resurrection. Why is this? Because many people don't understand the significance of Christ's death. That is, though He was sinless and perfect, He had to die in our place and for our sins. In other words, the sinless one took upon Himself the entire sin of the world. And unless you believe this, you also don't understand that Christ had to rise again from the dead in order to bring to completion His work as the Redeemer. The Apostle Paul puts those two facts together in one of my favorite Bible verses, Romans 4 verse 25. That Jesus died for our sins and He was raised to life for our justification. That is to make us right with God. And therefore the empty grave cannot be understood or appreciated until the cross is understood. So you see, we must acknowledge our need of a Savior before we can believe or understand the implications of what happened on that first resurrection morning. You see, the empty tomb must be viewed from the perspective of Calvary. Yes, Resurrection Sunday must be viewed in the light of what happened on Good Friday. Only then we can understand that He was raised in glory. You see, in our passage of Scripture, Matthew tells us about an angel of the Lord. And remember, the first time that we read about the angel of the Lord in the Gospel of Matthew, it was on the account of our Savior's birth. And remember, the angel is a messenger from God to convey the true meaning of the birth of Christ at that time. And here again, we see an angel of the Lord in the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. On the resurrection morning, a messenger from the Lord who explains the meaning of the empty tomb. Verse 2 says, the angel of the Lord went to the tomb and rolled back the stone and sat on it. Now many people think that the angel rolled the stone away in order for Jesus to get out of the tomb. But that is certainly not the case. Because you see, a body that can come out of burial wrappings, a body that can enter through locked doors where the disciples were secretly meeting, did not need a stone moved in order to come out of that tomb. Therefore, we ask the question, why did the angel roll the stone away? Now, it was not to let the Lord out, but to let the woman in. Not to let the Lord out, but to let the women in. Yes, dear brothers, God wanted eyewitnesses to the empty grave. You see, the empty tomb together with Christ's appearances were the proof that Jesus Christ is alive, that Christ has risen. And let us take a closer look at the stone rolled back by the angel. At the end of chapter 27, we read that the tomb was made secure by Pilate by putting a seal on the stone and posting guards, verse 66. In other words, the emperor's seal was a warning to those who tried to move that stone, that they were doing so against the emperor's command, and they would have to face the consequence of death. And yet, what did the angel do? The angel rolled back the stone and sat on it. Verse 2. He broke the seal. He defied the soldiers. And to add further insult, he sat on the stone to show that he was in total control of the situation. And as the guards, they were so afraid of the angel and of the stone being rolled away, that the Bible tells us they shook and became like dead men, verse 4. Dear brothers and sisters, you see, a statement is being made here. The statement is being made that there is a power greater than that of Caesar. Yes, there is a God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is in total control of every situation. God sent his angel to break that seal. Yes, to move the stone. And no Caesar or Roman soldier could stop him. The angel is a messenger. A messenger from God. And so what was the message from God? The message from God, verse 5 and 6. You are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive. Christ is risen. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Verse 6. The angel invited them to look into that empty tomb. Then in verse 7 he said, then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And that he is going ahead of you into Galilee. And there you will see him. The two Marys were given great news. News that was too good for them to keep to themselves. News that must be passed on. News that must be shared. In verse 20, in verse 27, or chapter 27, verse 59, we read about what Joseph of Arimathea did. How he took Jesus' body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, he placed him in a tomb, rolled a big stone at the entrance, and then he went away. And then Matthew gives us another detail. He says Mary Magdalene and Mary, the other Mary, were sitting there opposite the tomb. Verse 61. What were they doing there? They were watching. They were watching to see what was happening with Jesus' body. They were watching to see where Jesus would be buried. They were watching to see if his body was made secure. And then on the third day, after the Sabbath, we see them at the tomb again. And again their intent was to watch. The two Marys came to the tomb to watch. And to also anoint the body of Jesus according to the Jewish custom. But what did they see? They saw the empty tomb. They saw the soldiers frozen with fright. And they saw the angel sitting on the stone. And so they were afraid. Afraid that something may have happened to Jesus' body. In spite of all their efforts to watch over his body. Dear brothers and sisters, after the angel told them the good news about the resurrection of Jesus, the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with great joy, verse 8. Yes, they were afraid, but they were also filled with joy. In fact, their joy was greater than their fear. Why were the women so glad and filled with joy? Yes, they were glad because Jesus was alive. They were glad because of what Jesus prophesied about Himself that came to pass. They were glad that Jesus was raised. They were glad because they serve a living Savior and a living Lord. The women rejoice because Jesus was victorious over the powers and forces of evil and darkness. The women rejoice because the power of death was conquered, was broken, not only for Christ, but for all those who believe in Jesus. The women rejoice because Christ's resurrection meant the certainty of their own future resurrection. The women rejoice because their faith, their love, and their hope was not in vain. So what can we learn from these women here today? That they were believers with real and serious challenges, with great and heavy responsibilities and burdens. They had every reason to mourn, to be sad, to be filled with gloom and despair. And yet, they are also like us, that they have every reason to be glad and to celebrate Christ is risen. Remember the words we sang this morning. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Hallelujah. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Hallelujah. Verse 8, the women ran. They ran to tell the disciples that the Lord has risen. Of course they ran. They were excited. They were happy. They were filled with joy. They simply had to tell the disciples that Jesus was alive. And they had to tell them this exciting news as soon as possible. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, this morning, entrusted to us, entrusted to you and I this morning, is the good news, the best news, the exciting news, that's great news, that Christ is risen. We serve a risen Savior. But how many of us are like these women this morning who were so excited about this news, they just couldn't wait to go and share it, to tell it, to pass it on. They just couldn't wait, the good news. As a matter of interest this morning, you know, I never knew what my name meant until 7 months ago. Just 7 months ago. The name Nobin. Nobin in the Indian Sanskrit means good news. My father, who was in midnight darkness in Hinduism, didn't know what it meant when they named me Nobin. So that's the word in the Sanskrit, Indian Sanskrit, good news. How thrilled I was about that. And I was just thinking about it. My dad was a Hindu, didn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, gave me the name Nobin, not knowing that one day I will be preaching the good news of the gospel. I mean, that's amazing. God works in strange and marvelous ways. Good news. The good news of the gospel is not meant for us to keep it for ourselves. It is meant to be shared, following their example. We are to tell others about the risen Lord. Yes, we can use that opportunity during this very wonderful time of Easter. We need to share, yes. We need to tell others it's not about the Easter eggs. It's not about the bunnies. It's not about the chocolates. It's about our Lord Jesus Christ who rose again from the dead. That's the good news. He rose again to give us life, and we have life in Him abundantly. Yes, we need to tell others about Jesus. We are to be involved in seeking the lost for Christ. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, the women, they saw the first evidence, and that is the empty tomb. And then as they left the tomb, they witnessed the second evidence of the resurrection. They met the risen Lord himself. Notice what they do. They came to him, they held his feet, and they worshipped him, verse 9. And when the disciples saw the risen Lord, they also worshipped him, verse 17. And remember, worship is the proper response to the risen Christ. Worship proclaims Jesus as Lord and God. It proclaims Jesus as King and Savior. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is central to our Christian faith. It affirms the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is not just an ordinary man or a prophet, but that he is God himself in the flesh, who has the power over life and death. His resurrection is a demonstration that he is truly the Messiah. It is God's seal of approval of Christ's words and his actions. The resurrection is God's amen to the cry of our Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. It is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. The resurrection is God's yes to the ministry and teaching of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus opens the way to our future resurrection. Jesus Christ died and rose again as the first fruit of our resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus is our blessed hope. And therefore, let us faithfully love and serve our risen Savior. Christ the Lord is risen. Hallelujah. Let us rejoice. Let us proclaim. Let us worship our risen Savior. Amen. Lord Jesus, on this Resurrection Sunday, we are grateful for the opportunity of worshiping you and celebrating your resurrection. Lord, we want to rejoice in your glorious and triumphant victory over death, which affords us the opportunity to experience forgiveness and salvation in you alone. Lord Jesus, we believe that you rose again as the first fruit of our resurrection. Gracious Father, we want to celebrate you as our true and living God every day of our lives. In a world that is growing increasingly dark, help us, O Lord, to live as people who serve a risen Savior. Through your Spirit, grant us the courage to speak boldly as your disciples did after the resurrection, and to never be ashamed of proclaiming your good news to those who don't know you as Lord and Savior. We pray that your word this morning will transform us, renewing our minds and shaping our hearts so that we may live out our faith in obedience to your word through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.